Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the home of the first place Chicago Cubs. Listen to every game here.
Deep fly ball to left. This ball's got a chance. Long gone. Tape measure time for Wilson Contreras.
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Door Systems, now offering touch-free doors. Call 1-800-THE-DOOR.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
3-2. Center field angle, can't get there. It goes by him. Jones to second. Will it be a second inside the park home run against the Sox? The answer is yes.
As soon as it get by, that was an inside the park home run. Jones is a burner. And after a great play this inning, this sinking line drive gets by Engel, and this is not a great play.
To right field. And that is it for tonight. Sox fall 5-1 inside the park home run for Jacoby Jones, the big play against Dallas Keuchel, who pitched pretty well again.
We just came out flat, and I feel like we just stayed flat the whole game. You know, we got a lot of guys, you know, I'm going to take that back. We got some guys coming out and taking professional at-bats, you know, being professional on the mound and doing what it takes to win. We got some guys kind of going through the motions, so we need to clean a lot of things up. And, you know, if we want to be in this thing at the end of the season, we're going to have to start that now. And like I mentioned to you guys before, when you have enough talent to potentially win every game, it's very frustrating when you have games like this, and it just seemed like we were out of it from the get-go.
Well, okay then. That is Dallas Keuchel with a strong thought on his teammates. The next question is, who are you mentioning there? Who came out flat? Who's not playing hard? Come on now. Bad night for the White Sox, who slipped back under 500. And James Fegan, who is on Twitter at JR Fegan, covers the White Sox for The Athletic, and he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. James, how are you?
I'm okay.
The team you cover, not so much.
Yeah, I guess not. I mean, around 10 o'clock or 9 o'clock last night, I wasn't sure what the story was, but so I got rescued there a little bit, but... The team probably less so.
What's the impact of a comment like that from Dallas Keuchel? You know, you bring in a vested veteran and you say you get that kind of leadership. I guess that's what you expect, right?
Yeah, it's probably, I mean, I've been covering the team since 2017. There have been some losses where they say they need to be better. They need to, like, you know, whip into shape or something like that. But that's probably like the first time that, especially a player, and, you know, not that Renteria is really predisposed to calling out the team in the media in that way. It's probably the first time that's really happened since this whole process started. So this would be the kind of the first time they've really been challenged publicly to say, like, if you want to be a contending team, if you want to take the next step, you know, you need to, like, have a better focus or a better effort level. You know, everything's kind of been placed in the context of long-term development for so long that we really haven't seen that kind of reaction to a single game, at least not publicly. Like, it's kind of a new tact in terms of kind of having that kind of statement to the media, I would say. You can't say, there's definitely been team meetings before where they've addressed it internally, and I know other players have expressed the idea of keeping that in-house. I would say, like, I want to say it was 2018, Ronaldo Lopez said that they played like clowns out there, but it seemed like they kind of, the general reaction was, let's not say that out loud so much to the reporters, was how they kind of fell in line after that, rather than, you know, there's a purpose or there's a, you know, someone like Calico who has been on two different playoff teams before and been to this process of rebuilding, clearly saw some utility in kind of doing it publicly like this. So that seems like a new tactic that I haven't seen in this franchise for a while.
What does that say about how Rick Renteria is viewed? I mean, if it's one thing if Renteria is saying this internally, if a manager is stepping in and saying, hey, I need you to be more focused. I need you to have your head in the game. I need you to pull your weight, be ready to go. You know, what does it say that Keuchel felt the need to say this? Because we don't know how it's being managed.
I guess it would say that he feels like what's currently being done as far as internal just kind of handled internally is not producing the results, and so he's taking this new tactic. Like, we've seen, like, even just last year in Detroit when Ronaldo Lopez had that bad game, we saw Rick Renteria, like, clearly frustrated with him and talking to him very, like, you know, sternly in the dugout, and then, you know, post-game being like, oh, yeah, I was just giving him some encouraging words. Like, that type of closing the ranks when it comes to discussing their how they address someone who's not locked in when they talk about it publicly. Given that it's so early in the season, it's so early in the tenure, I feel like it might be, I'd be more, if it were like in the final month or, you know, a year, a season in, and he feels the need to do this publicly because it feels like it's not happening, that's maybe him reacting to, like, you know, I've watched the way the coaching staff handles it and it doesn't work, so I'm doing this now. Whereas the fact that he kind of came to this so early and said it was, you know, this is the first time I saw the effort was not there, so I'm doing this, makes me think like that was just how he approaches it, as more than necessarily like the coaching staff is not doing the job, so I'm going to. But, you know, I could be wrong on that, but that was just, I got the, he kind of digressed a few times and said, you know, this is something young teams go through. This is something I've seen happen before. It's just a natural byproduct of being in rebuild the last 2-3 years that they're not going to make this transition smoothly towards being a team that can't lose games like this. So he did try to minimize it a little bit in the sense of, like, this is just part of the process and that's what I'm doing, but it's striking. I'm very curious to see how briefings go today. I've never been more excited for my Zoom calls this year to kind of see how they place this in the context of what they're doing, because it was a new direction.
Anything on Jose Abreu's injured hip?
They seem to place it in a day-to-day situation that he kind of, when he stepped wrong on the bag, that he felt like this shooting pain through his leg, which, you know, is a great thing to hear about a huge slugger who's 33, but that it had gone away by the end of the game, and they were hoping more it'd be more a day-to-day situation rather than, you know, this is something he's going to get an MRI about necessarily. But yeah, he's at an age and he's at a size where you kind of wonder about everything that happens to him, but at this point, it's not the end of the world yet.
Notice that the White Sox have hit to a high batting average of balls in play that is now starting to regress a little bit. And obviously teams that hit the ball hard are going to have a higher batting average of balls in play. But I wonder how much of a statistical warning sign it is to you that we're seeing that number come down.
I mean, yeah, you don't want to be dependent on it, but that was probably a lot of their progress last year was dependent on that, right? Like September when they had that good offensive year, and basically their best offensive seasons from Anderson and Moncada were all dependent on, they're swinging very freely, they're not taking walks, they're very batting average dependent, they're probably expanding the zone a little bit, but we're depending on the idea that they just have so much bat speed and so much, you know, resultant exit below that they're going to be exceptional in this area and they're going to kind of live off of it a little bit. So having this stretch where it seems like the gains of last week were fueled by something that's not super sustainable, and now you're kind of getting the results of, you know, the last week or so, they've been like one of the 10 worst teams in terms of swinging out of the zone, in terms of swinging strike rate, in terms of strikeout rate, it seems like even if that BABIP is not holding up super high, there's so many other just kind of red flags and things that are attracting from them in terms of plate discipline that it's not really a sustainable approach on its own. So you were kind of hoping that Rendall and Encarnacion, and you know, the emphasis on approach that was coming with Menachino was going to pay off and maybe changing the type of production you saw a little bit. But since none of those guys have really gotten going yet, you're not really seeing it yet. And, you know, without Tim Anderson, and when, you know, Eloy Jimenez and Luis Robert are running cold, it doesn't look very good.
Grandal's been bad. His weighted runs created plus right now is only 91. It means he's 9% less than the average current major league player on offense. And the defense, while the numbers are right around the level, just watching some of the balls that are bouncing away from him and some that he's just not keeping in front of him, it doesn't look right. Is he okay?
He had a foot issue that he was working with. That he said it was bothering him in his crouch a little bit. I think his approach to catching is a bit more framing at the sacrifice of a ball or two going to the backstop. I think that's probably the choice he would make when it boils down to it. So I don't know if that's something that's necessarily going away. I took the more optimistic take of it as like, man, he's almost floating around league average. The fact he has not looked good at the plate all year is a testament to the fact that he does take a lot of pitches and is still taking his walks. But yeah, he's a power oriented guy with a kind of uphill playing swing. So you shrug off maybe no homers in 17 games or 19. Yeah, we're at this point for maybe another guy, but it's really kind of crushing mistake pitches type of approach and taking your walks around it. So the fact that he hasn't elevated yet and that he was just his strikeout rate kind of exploding a little bit and getting burned so many per strikeouts looking, it's not good. But I think he's fundamentally a smart hitter. I want to say it's going to come around at some point because his approach, I feel, is so solid. He's definitely not, getting any faster or getting any younger. And that's something to watch over the course of a 4-year deal for somebody who's already 31 and squats for a living. But I have a feeling it's going to come around at some point this year just because I feel like the know-how is still there and the bat hasn't slowed down dramatically in talking to scouts. But, yeah, he's someone who is supposed to give you instant impact and said, you're almost going to be to a third of a season waiting for him to get going, which is part of the nature of this, but also disappointing.
The other free agent signing that was of note, Steve Cishek, he's been brutal. Do we know why?
No, not necessarily. It's just that he hasn't looked like he's had his command, and he's kind of floated a lot of sliders up there. But, yeah, even he was decent last night, but it kind of spoke to how far he's kind of already slid in the hierarchy that he was pitching last night in a game that I think by the time he brought in, he was already there, already down 4. He's a guy who, is not overpowering. He probably hits 90-91 at this point in his career, and it's really about having that slider command going, and it hasn't been there yet. I hope it doesn't put that huge bomb Luis Robert hit off of him in a different context if he's kind of struggling to find it. But it's a weird situation with all the 1-year option guys like Encarnacion and Gio Gonzalez and Steve Cishek when you're wondering like how much is this team going to spend next year and kind of a limited time for these kind of veterans to really get going. If they're all kind of just kind of struggling out of the gate, the White Sox kind of just purge a lot of their gains from this last season as far as acquisitions because, you had a cadre of veterans who never really showed you what they're about and their options are even more expensive than the years you signed them for this season. And if you're shedding salary, you just kind of drop a lot of what made this roster look well-rounded in spring training.
Talking White Sox with James Feegan of The Athletic on Sports Radio 670 The Score. You mentioned Luis Robert, and I was a little surprised that he didn't start the game, comes in as a pinch hitter, especially because of the size of that outfield that we saw. It's not just the triple, the inside the park home run that's got to remind you. You need range out there, and for an outfield defense that has been lacking that, I was a little surprised that he wasn't out there prowling around. And meanwhile, it does seem like there is a pitching approach to him that is starting to develop from opponents.
Yeah, he's getting thrown sliders nonstop and being attacked away, like we could have probably predicted he would have based off just watching him in the minor leagues. He was somebody who would dive out to the other side of the plate. The difference was if you throw him a below average slider in AAA, he would dive out of the plate and hit it 450 feet, and you can't do that as easily now. He seemed pretty unimpressed by it and didn't seem super worried about the way he's being attacked, but I took his day off as purely just the idea that over the last 8 games, he's striking out like a 40% rate. he seemed like he was clearly scuffling. His clean strike rates right now, if they projected over a full season, would be like historic. I think he's like something around like 23%. Like, I think the worst Joey Gallo has ever done is around 18%. So he'd be useful in Detroit. But I thought that the offensive numbers clearly kind of hinted towards like, let's give this guy a day off to kind of process things, that I didn't see it as like a big thing. And typically that's where Adam Engel has earned his keep the last 3 years, is that he would patrol that even if he wasn't giving you anything offensively. So the fact that didn't work out and even produced an inside the park home run just kind of speaks to just nothing going right now.
Where are we on any other injury news? Because there's pages and pages of this. Is the imminent return of Anderson just the next important thing?
Yeah, I mean, the rotation is unsustainable, I would say, at this point, in terms of having a bullpen day, of the fact that you're trying to get bulk innings out of Drew Anderson just this weekend. So
Saturday was just gross.
You need, as much as I wouldn't try to put on the shoulders of Ronaldo Lopez to come back and be a savior. You want to see progress on that as soon as possible. And, you know, when Rick Hahn spoke to the media the other week, it was very much the idea that they were not going to go out and, you know, add to the rotation of any kind, because they had Rodon and Lopez coming back from shoulder ailments that they did not see as major or season ending, or even stuff that would keep them out through the end of August. So that seems like the really vital thing that needs to happen and everyone should be watching for, because that's when there's some sort of stability towards their starting pitching situation and allows the fact that you're operating with a bullpen that's, you know, not really deeper than last year's unit, especially if you don't have Aaron Bummer and you can't really afford to just pick up an extra slot in the rotation once a week.
You mentioned you were looking forward to your Zoom calls today. What are you going to ask? What do you want to know?
I want to know. I'm sure they're aware of what Dallas said. And, you know, typically everything we talk about with the White Sox is about this upward trend towards their long-term goal. That's like this, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. So how do they place in context of a bad night being treated as basically a crisis or a gut check moment by one of their veterans? You know, Rick Renteria's post-game briefing certainly wasn't happy and certainly was a lot more disapproving and we're not executing and we need to fix this than he normally is, but it was still very much, a Rick Renteria post-game presser, which is about, you know, they're working hard, but they're not doing it right now. We'll get it fixed. We'll get it done. It wasn't like, well, we'll see who cares about winning tonight. That's not the tone he ever strikes with his guys. So I'm interested to see if he kind of appreciates and goes along with what was stated, with the kind of gauntlet that Keuchel laid down, or if he kind of, you know, pivots back towards the general message that's been the last 3 years of we're working toward a goal and we'll get there and there are bumps in the road, but no big deal.
Yeah, my guess is they'll try to reel it back in, that where it's going to be full damage control mode, but you can't unring that bell. James Feegan, looking forward to hearing what comes out of that press conference today from you and others. Thanks always for joining us.
Thanks for having me, as always.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.